Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Murray Grapevine, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Radio Service, so we go across the country, mob. Have your saying yarn up strong. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, you mob. We are living in a different world, COVID-19, but we just need to adhere to the rules and laws that are in place to keep us all safe, to flatten out this curve in regarding the virus. There's no vaccine, so yeah, hands up, hats off to you all. You're all doing a great job, but we need to keep doing it. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn with our beautiful brother man, Dr. Mark Winnetong, Senior Medical Advisor at Punupima Cape York Health Council, and talk about First Nation people encouraged to continue visiting their doctor and or health worker online. Dr. Mark, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks, today. How are you, brother?
I'm very good, Dr. Mark. Let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Okay, it's Dr. Mark Winnetong here. My mob's Cubby Cubby from South Queensland and Vanuatu, mixed heritage there, and been working in Cape York.
Fantastic, beautiful. Look, upside down world we're living in at the moment. COVID-19 has put a spanner in the works, so to speak, but it's about adapting to the climate that we're living in. And your message, Doctor, is First Nation people encouraged to continue visiting their doctor and or health worker, yes?
Yeah, look, just thought it was very timely and really useful to put out that message, because I kind of started feeling that people were staying away from their usual care because they're too worried about either getting an infection or that the clinic's going to be too busy because of the fever clinics, etc. But really just an important message to take care of your normal health as well, and to continue to access your GP or your primary healthcare centre or your Aboriginal medical service as you normally would. And particularly that's true for people who have got chronic diseases, etc., who need to make sure that they're taken care of well and truly, like their heart, your blood pressure and heart problems, lung problems, diabetes, etc. So it's just really important to keep all those things going on during this other pandemic that's kind of taken the attention away from everything else currently.
Doctor, are you seeing that cancellations of appointments as such, or just no-shows from our mob?
No, look, it's been quite different in the context that I work in, because we've mainly had to swap to telehealth and telephone, etc., consults. So, and there's definitely been less. But whether that's due to people not being able to access services as easily as they could before, or due to people staying away because they're worried about, have fears about other things, I'm not sure which of those, but doesn't matter at the end of the day. Main thing is just to encourage people to, you know, just make sure that their normal health is taken care of, and don't let things get away on you. You know, we was kind of worried about people with, you know, diabetic foot ulcers and things like that, people who have heart failure, or people who are on needle kind of injections for mental health and stuff like that. Just making sure that people continue to take care of those things, because it's really important.
Very, very so. Very much so. So we're talking about the physical sense. What's your take on the mental sense and regarding mental stability?
Yeah, look, there's a whole lot of levels to this, eh? For many people, this has been a little bit of a pressure reliever that I've found anyway, that, you know, some people have been saying, actually, you know, I'm realising what's really important in life now, as opposed to all the bits and pieces of stuff that I used to be doing, and around relationships, etc. But for other people, you know, it's a very difficult time, and sometimes when people are having relationships and they're locked in the house together, that's not the best, because there's no way of kind of getting out and getting away from things for a while. There's other people, as I was saying, who have mental health problems, who around these kinds, you know, times of uncertainty, it's just a lot harder for them. And there's going to be kind of, you know, a few kind of different kinds of responses to this, you know, this COVID stuff. So, but the main thing is making sure that each of us is taking good care of our well-being. And that does mean, you know, the usual stuff around trying to be healthy, trying to eat healthy. You know, it's just so easy to take away, you know, to get takeaway food because it's better than, you know, like it's kind of easier to go through a drive-through than it is to go into a shop, etc. But and all those kinds of things, you know, that we get involved in with Netflix and watching movies and eating bad food.
Exactly.
While people are locked down, that's not that great for your mental health or your physical health. But
sure.
But for the mental stuff, yeah, it's just really important to get that regular exercise and have as healthy a lifestyle as you possibly can, given the you know, the current situation, because it really does help with your mental health. The other thing is, you know, not to be watching social media and media all the time, except for listening to us, of course.
Thank you. So listen to National Talk, because you hear on the news, sure, media, it's a good morning, last good thing they tell you. And so that can affect the brain in regarding a negative sense. So stay away, you know, well, once a week, if anything, you know, regarding the news is what you're saying.
Yeah, look, just take a break from social media. There's lots of different stuff out there. Everybody's got, you know, an armchair virologist now and can tell you what's going to happen next and what caused it and that kind of stuff. But the main thing is to keep your mental health
exactly
okay, not to become confused by all that kind of stuff that's out there now. So give yourself a break from time to time from all that and that kind of bombardment, particularly from us health professionals as well.
Exactly.
Around, you know, things. So, because we always talk about the worst as opposed to the best outcome. So, but it's really important, you know, for our mob especially, to understand that currently we're doing very, very well.
Good. Yes.
And miraculously well. Really, you know, there hasn't been a confirmed case for an Indigenous person in any remote or very remote community as we speak.
And look, that's the goal, isn't it? You know, and we're finding that First Nation communities, some people are feeling uneasy because of lockdown and isolation. But the goal is to have no cases of COVID-19 in our communities in regard to the vulnerable, our elders and people who are very ill at this point in time anyway, yeah?
Yeah, and look, it's a kind of a different story for us. So, like, there's probably been about 50 or so people that are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander across Australia that have become infected. Not very many of those, only about 10% even had to go to hospital.
Mm.
And of those, none has been in intensive care yet. It's going pretty good. But the thing is, and our urban mob have been doing really, really well, you know, considering that it's probably harder to control in urban environments, especially more crowded ones or densely populated ones, than it is in remote where we can shut down the borders, you know. You know, our mob's been doing really, really well. And but the issue is for us is that, you know, we have a slightly different curve. You know, they all talk about flattening the curve. So our modelling kind of shows that if, you know, things were to take off, particularly in discrete or remote communities where there's, you know, short of housing and a fair bit of overcrowding, and then as well as that, lots of people who are older with chronic diseases, and then knowing that we have less infrastructure in many of these places means that our ability to respond is kind of reduced. But also, if it were to take off in a remote community, it'd probably take off with a very steep curve. So while the rest of the nation's kind of relaxing restrictions, it's kind of important for us to really, really keep on the ball for our communities. Now, I know different people are saying, you know, we should have the Biosecurity Act, you know, relaxed now, etc. And look, I don't have any problems with that, but the issue for us is that we still need to take care of our vulnerable people.
Yes.
And once again, just because it hasn't yet come into our community doesn't mean to say it won't, or it isn't already there in some shape or form. It's just that we're not testing enough. So, you know, the message for us is to look, we need to stay on our toes around this. And our big concern, of course, is a second wave, which has happened in a couple of other countries. And there's some ones you can kind of read about. We're in that Hokkaido, one of the other Japanese islands, where they did really well first with good restrictions, and then they just relaxed them all, and then suddenly there was about 1,000% increase in cases. So the other bad news story, and this is for our mob specifically around particularly remote is Navajo Nation in the US, who I think they border on about four different states over there. But at least in Arizona, they make up 2% of the population, their mob, and 28% of the mortality rate. So they are getting smashed. And they have small discrete communities like we do. They have a much bigger population, but small discrete desert community with not a lot of infrastructure and stuff like that. And the community transmission infection rates are very high, and their death rates are as high as the different states in the US. So we need to stay on our toes around this.
Fantastic. Strong message there. Thank you very much, Dr. Mark. Listen, all the best to you and your deadly team and your family. You stay safe, and we'll be in touch, my brother.
No worries. You take care, bro. See ya.
Bye-bye. Adelian, Dr. Mark Winnetong there, Senior Medical Advisor, Puna Pima, Cape York Health Council. And his message about First Nation people encouraged to continue visiting their doctor and or health worker, and also not to be complacent in regard to the rules and regulations that are upon us regarding COVID-19. Adhere to it. And like I said, there's no vaccine. There's only what we can do is contain the virus, and that's by running with the rules that are in place. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And I'm live here from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, and a voice for our people. So do utilise it. Have your say. Otherwise, you can text the brothers as well, 045-714-0550. And yarn with the Baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Want to hear what you're going to say, your mob. Too deadly. Okay, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Pamela Trotman, a trauma therapist. Her new book, Triumphing Over Trauma, Journeys Beyond Wanderness, on the line. We have Pamela. Very good morning, Pamela. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very pleased to be on your program, and thank you very much. Pleased and privileged. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to the program. And where are you based, Pamela?
I'm in Darwin, so I'd like to acknowledge that I'm on Larrakia land, the traditional owners, and I also want to acknowledge the traditional owners of all the land from your listeners, where your listeners come from. So thank you.
Beautiful. Now, thank you very much. So we're living in a different world at the moment regarding COVID-19, and your new book, Triumphing Over Trauma, Journeys Beyond Wanderness. When you look at COVID-19 and the effect it has on our lives, it can cause trauma, could it not?
I think it's more likely to reactivate former traumas if people haven't it's more likely to reactivate former traumas.
Okay. So in regard to our space, what can we do to massage our mind, so to speak?
Well, I think what we need to do, and I'm going to say that I'm a trauma survivor, so I'm speaking first. Speaking as a long-standing trauma therapist of over 40 years,
yes.
But I'm also a trauma survivor of many different traumas. So one of the things I think that all of us need to do is to recognise that things happen in our lives that will create distress, and that we may actually take a while take a while to heal from those, and that in that time there may be a lot of other incidences that come up that knock us flat and make us sort of knock us over when we're already feeling vulnerable.
So you can say you're a success story, a person who's been through trauma and come out the other side, yes?
Well, I'd say that I'm not a success story, but what I am is that I think I embody now. I'm an old woman now. I'm 73 this year.
Good evening.
So I think I can embody both in person and in body and mind is that the human capacity to actually heal, and because our brains are not only designed to survive trauma under that, which is what happens with extreme stress, and we have, but our brains are also programmed to heal. So I think I'm a good example of how, if we give our brains and give ourselves half a chance, we can actually do, which is what we call, that's why I've called the book Triumphing Over Trauma. We can actually find ways to transcend it and rise above it. So the trauma doesn't dictate who we are and how we live our lives. It can influence, but not dictate.
And trauma comes in all different reasons and methods in regard to a person's life, yeah? And it's what, worse compared to some others in regard to the trauma status?
I have not found so, either for myself or in listening to, in working with other people. And I've worked with people from a whole lot of different countries and war-torn areas. Mm. I've also spent a lot of time working with members of the Stolen Generation, and the pain that people experience, whether it's the loss and grief of culture or connection, whether it's being a survivor of family violence or sexual violence, either as an adult or a child, the emotions are much the same. That's why I call the word woundedness, and that's what the book is about, that there are times when the trauma, the different types of trauma, wound us in different ways.
And acting on that, so do you need a professional help as such, or a good family gathering base, so to speak, and regarding light at the end of the tunnel?
Look, I think all of those things. I think family are undoubtedly important, very important, and capable of healing, as long as their family members don't recognise that the person who suffered the trauma really has to. They can't tell the person what to do. We none of us, even a trauma, we can't tell the person what they need in order to heal. All we can do is support, encourage, and help them keep the inner fire. I call it an inner fire, of like a little light inside, that we can't let that light go out, because if we let that light go out, then our energies for life go out. So we have to try and keep that flame going. So specialist therapists are very good in that, because they can focus on ourselves, and that we don't have to worry about how they are responding. Whereas with family members and all that, and friends, we actually have to worry about how they're going to react, and that can sometimes get in the way.
So there could be a training for family members to help them react and more so respond to the situation with a family member in that situation, trauma situation, yep?
Well, ideally, like, on my website, the short answer is yes, looking, how do you respond? And even in my book, I wrote, when I was working with an Aboriginal health service in Darwin called Danila Dilva Health Service, in their Emotional Social Wellbeing Service, I actually designed a little checklist about how to respond to disclosures of child sexual abuse, so that people can refocus and keep the child focused and things, but also respond to it within the law and things. So that was done 15 years ago. So it is important that people, it's not necessarily trained, but people have an awareness and knowledge about what's involved, so that they don't panic and that they can be encouraged go the distance, I think, with their relative or friend.
And when we say go the distance, we're talking about patience and understanding, probably the strong message we're putting across the table here, Pamela, is that you're not a psychologist, you're not a doctor, but you can be a friend with patience and with a good pair of ears and understanding, yep?
But I think there's another element that I think, both for relatives, friends and therapists, that if with the trauma survivor, the other person needs to be grounded. So because if the trauma survivor is having a rough time, the last thing the survivor needs is for somebody else to be panicking around them. So the other people need not only to be patient, they need to take time to ground themselves, so that they are not adding to the problem. Because it happens so often, we get spooked by it, and so we run around like chooks without heads, and that is not at all helpful.
So it's I suppose it's a bit of education for the family member dealing with the person with trauma. Yeah.
Yes, I think we need to have more programs for that. And ideally, I'd like to. My hope is that in the future I can set that up. And I'm talking about not just individual talking. I'm talking about community trauma.
Yes.
Where whole communities have been traumatized.
Well, exactly.
Whether that's by catastrophe or you know, I mean, I've got a I'm not not Aboriginal, but I've got a strong commitment to reconciliation because for the healing that needs to take place within our whole community, individually and collectively.
Well, a lot of our people have got trauma regarding, you know, like the past and stolen generation and stolen wages and, yeah, land disposition, all the above. It is carry on through generation. And
that's right.
You know, that's upon us.
You're dead right. And I actually write about that. I write about that in my chapter in one of the... I'm describing in my book seven different kinds of what I call traumatic wounding, which is a psychological wounding, which is different from when there's actually acute stress and fear. And I've actually got seven different forms of psychological wounding. And one of the ones that apply is the sense of denial, and that's a denial of one's humanity, and that happens when whole races or groups of people are cast out of their land, or like the stolen generation, removed because of their race, and rejection, that their people are not good, with all of which diminishes or dismisses the person as being equal as a human being. It actually then it puts them down as a human being and makes them lesser of a human. And right across the world, we've got that's happening. That's been happening throughout all my life. It happened with the Nazi Germany, with the Jews, and that's what I grew up, was born into the aftermath. But it's happening all over the world. It's been happening for millennia, and is continuing to happen. And that's the bit that I find most confronting. The pandemic will cut half and we'll find ways to do it. But unless we can, to my mind, unless we can confront and start to really tackle the causes of this psychologically wounding, we're going to end up with a whole lot of people who are quite disabled and for a long time.
And that's why it's so important that the message that we're delivering is that we need to all work together and support the individual, the peoples who have trauma, and for yourself to get educated. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we can reach for that light, so to speak. Yep.
And you're right, so right, Trevor, but it's that. But also to look at what we can do to minimise the risk of trauma that people are not exposed to. That. So that might be on a political level to look at, that's what's happening and change the cultures. For example, with the Royal Commission into sexual abuse, institutional sexual abuse, has brought up a whole lot of light of quite a dreadful cultures within organisations, within the churches, that has actually said it's okay to sexually abuse children.
And it's not okay.
And that's the bit about, I mean, exposing it and not saying that.
Yes. Pamela Trotman, thank you very much for your conversation, my dear. Now, Triumphing Over Trauma is the title of your book. How do people get a hold of your deadly book there?
There's a website, and I can email you the details, but it's, I'll see if I get this right, HTTP, HTTP:// www.noah, as in Noah's Ark, NOAH, noahpublishing.com.au.
Publishing.com.au. Fantastic for your book, Triumphing Over Trauma.
Thank you for your time and all the best with your work. It's really exciting, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Pamela. All the best to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn with Pamela Trotman, her name is, a trauma therapist. She's got a new book out, Triumphing Over Trauma, and look, do check that out, all the www.noahpublishing.com.au, and checking that book out, and overcoming trauma. That's what it's all about, and we can do it together and support people in that situation. Light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Have you say yarn up strong. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Yarn with Baldy and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up with another deadly Trevor. That's Trevor Peckman on the line. Peckham on the line, my brother.
Hey, Jerry Nora.
TP, my
good
brother.
Good morning to all.
Good morning.
How's
your day, my big brother? My day is very good. I'm enjoying the day. Every day above ground's a good day. I woke up this morning, it's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's called a world health section.
How are you travelling in this world at the moment of COVID-19, brother?
Well, I've been sort of been doing everything that's been, explained clearly.
Yes.
To us, and been following those protocols and showing all of the young ones and older ones that it's possible to just do what they're requesting, you know?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And being quite community in our own home, and which is good, bro, because before I felt like we was more like a society in our own home, and we all had our own little duties, and when you had a different shirt on with a label on, you was a different person. But in the community, you just helping each other, and you don't look at each other's labels, you just understand the love that you share, and it's good, you know, and it's a genuine one, you know.
Yeah, genuine one. So family is what I'm picking up there, brother. Very strong and powerful. It keeps us grounded.
Guaranteed, give you the strength you need in your mundu, you know, and your energy. So, you know, if we just continue to do that and garden, I guess, our mundus, our energies, and make sure that, you know, if something's not necessary, then don't apply it. Just
don't
apply.
Yeah,
because
my brother.
At this moment, you're only applying necessary, see?
Yes.
So just leave your energy at that necessary energy, you know? But I'm impressed with what I've seen, you know, with all the families and their whole attribute to this COVID-19 thing. And also with everything else that's been scaring us about other little things. They talk about this 5G things, doing things. I'm not sure, bro, but like, at the end of the day, we haven't changed the way we've been living on country.
Exactly.
And the love and community has always been our strength. And the strength is stronger now. It feels like I'm back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Like a dream.
Exactly. You know? And it's finding your thought process about all the goodness and happiness in your life and bring that to the forefront, you know? I mean, you need to look at a glass of water half full, not a half empty.
The positives, my big bro. I remember the speech you gave me back in the day, like when I come to Cairns from Mariba. You said, Trevor, this Cairns can get the best of you, I tell you now, but just remember your positive and where you belong, and you'll be able to guide through, I believe it, you know.
Yeah, for sure, my brother.
And I've appreciated them words forever, my big brother.
Are you on the job, or have you been put off because of COVID-19? You working, bro?
Well, everyone's suffered loss. And you might get a request to do some kind of online or something like that, you know? And for myself, I decided to go back to school, and I've done the NEES program.
Okay.
And the NEES program is about instilling in me how to be efficient at doing business on this country.
Good, deadly brother,
and
deadly.
Engaging that, you know.
So you've been productive with the time that you got, thanks to COVID-19.
Productive is the key, bro. If I see the washing up there, I don't ask someone or get me to be asked. I just use my productiveness there. Because when I used to go to work, I used to be doing real productiveness at the work.
Yes.
But then when I'm home, for some reason, I can't be productive at home.
Well, let's get productive.
That's gambling. That's a thing you call the next one piece.
Yeah, true, brother. True. Well, most people are productive at work, but we get home, which way? Slack mode. But you can now be productive at home, you know, in all aspects of your life.
Disco tech mode, or whatever different modes. And I said, you know, that's a component of who you are. And the end ultimate is you still are who you are. And one thing my little brother said to me, Kelly, he said, big brother, I love this book. We was on stage, you know. He looked back to the audience and he said, oh, I say this. I don't know if everyone will catch on to it, but I like it. He says, no matter wherever you go in the world, there you are.
Yeah, exactly. There you are.
My brother, that's game on, done.
Well, I always said the best definition, word concentration, is wherever you are, be there.
Yeah. In anything, my friend.
If you have to think, washing up, be there. You're there physically, be there. Mentally. scrub that fatness off that frying pan.
You can't be on the technology in one go, and that's not right.
Well, them deadly women can do all that stuff. Like, there's three things that one man got to concentrate on, the one thing that is in front of him.
You're just meant to make a line between the dots that the woman putting down for you.
That's right. Then pick up what you're putting down.
With direction.
Happy wife, happy life. Happy spouse, happy house.
Hey, bro. Honestly, my grandfather said you're a capacity provider, son.
Yeah.
Please don't get upset over that. And I said, I hear you, man. I said, I will not. I believe that. So I don't get upset at providing capacity.
I just
get upset when my capacity is not necessarily used correctly. And then I get upset at myself for continuing to provide the capacity that is not necessary for him. But then he's using me. And well, then he said, you got to use your own 2 feet to step off the moment and move to somewhere better, where you can smile or get something different.
See, I'm hearing calmness in your voice. And we as human beings, we complicate things. I always say life is simple. People complicate it. Keep it simple.
Well, it's also technology is the new key in this country that's been changing our way, bro.
Yeah, true too.
So that's the new adaption on the land, fam. That's all. It's an adaption. It's not change of oneself. It's an adaption to oneself.
And that's why we should adapt to the rules that are in place regarding COVID-19. My brother, I have to keep moving, but listen, all the best to you. Thank you for your call, my cuss.
Before we go, please, can I say happy birthday to you, to Ruben Delgetty. He 40 today.
Okay.
Brother.
Deadly.
He's right. He's flying nice, too.
Well, I'll play Stevie Wonder song for him. Happy birthday, my brother.
I love you all. Happy birthday, Ruby, and Garo to all family.
Garo. To Deadly, bro. Thank you, Trevor Peckham. To Delia Mob, happy birthday, all you mob out there having a birthday. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry. I have a birthday 24/7 every day. Wake up this morning, it's all good. Every day, Bud Brown is a good day, and you should celebrate that way inclined. National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Look at all our podcasts, all the yarns, all the photos, and a powerful tool it is, so do utilise it. We're going to catch up a yarn now with David Kudoff. Look, helping families to be mentally strong and deal with tremendous challenges that face close to the heart of the retired businessman and director Dave Kudoff, the grandfather of seven, volunteer, Beyond Blue, speaker of now Parent Guides Ambassador, is passionate about mental health. And the world we live in at the moment, COVID-19, can affect our mental capacity, but it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. What I always say on the line, David, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Trevor. Very well, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important topic in regard to the world that we're living in at the moment, COVID-19. And look, sometimes when different things are upon us, then it can become a challenge. But it's about adapting and responding and keeping your mind intact, yep?
Absolutely. And what you said before, the introduction is very, very valid. It's what's happening today may not happen tomorrow, and you just got to be prepared. And be able to communicate. I think that's the key.
So we are talking about being the captain of your own ship when we're talking about our mind. It's like the phrase you use, not what happens to you, is how you respond to it. It's all a mental capacity, isn't it?
It is, but a lot of us need a bit of help, and we need to know where to turn, and we need to be able to communicate, and that's why I became an ambassador for parent guides, because they really facilitate the opportunity for parents to talk to kids about things that may be concerning them. And it's often hard to talk to teenage kids because they tune out. Mm-hmm. But these books are designed around helping the parents to help their kids and to communicate. And we don't want to see suicide statistics going sure. through the roof. We need to do something to really improve that communication.
So it is a so-called bridge of communication that we as parents are building and for both parties to be walking across that bridge for the communication, yep?
That's a great analogy. Yep, very much about building bridges, taking a step at a time and realising that sometimes you've just got to hold back and just have a bit of a look at the horizon and then reach out for help if you need to and support.
And it's not a thought of... pushing the agenda, a parent needs to be patient as well, and the young person, in a way, is a young adult. They got their own mind, and give them time to speak and express as well.
Absolutely, spot on. We know people can go become very quiet, and they become very reserved. They don't share things. They build a bigger barrier than they realise. And the idea is that we need to have support there to just open that conversation and not try and push it. The parent guides are very much not about being preachy, not about telling somebody how to do anything. They're all about a guide to somebody who's using them, be it a school teacher or a parent, and just opening the conversation, opening the communication, and then really crossing the fingers and hoping that the kids pick up on this and realize there's something tangible for them to fall back on if they're feeling a little bit isolated.
Look, I'm a radio announcer, so a gift of the gab, so to speak, but in regard to my relationship with my children, I understand I've got two ears and one mouth and use it in that order?
Absolutely. Terrific.
And that's so important regarding being a listener, even if you're not saying anything. Yeah, Doc?
Yes, and I think the key to it also is being able to just watch what the feedback is like. And if you don't get the feedback initially, keep trying. Just keep that communication line open. You could think nothing's happening, and then weeks and weeks later, your child or whoever may come say to you, look, you mentioned this a few weeks back, can we have a bit of a chat? And it's not threatening, it's not trying to be an advisor, it's simply allowing the person just to share their thoughts and feelings in a non-threatening way.
It's not about putting the whole life course into that one conversation there and then. It's about spreading it out and picking the best time and having patience with it, yeah?
Totally. It's really all about a step at a time. One step, baby steps initially, and then as things improve, you increase the amount of time, maybe the amount of information that you share. And it's about sharing and in very much in a non-threatening environment. That's the key.
And so it is a patient thing. I mean, like, so when we first have a newborn, a manual doesn't come with it, with the pet human, so to speak. So we, as parents, we sometimes walk through a dark tunnel and it's live and learn, so to speak, yeah?
Yep, there's no book of instructions, Trevor. You're absolutely correct. We all learn by our experiences. None of us are expert parents before we have children. And once they hit the puberty and early teens, they're very much people who have minds of their own. And we need to respect that. But we also, as parents, need to exercise some communication and control with our children. And we don't get it right all the time by any stretch.
Sure.
If it's keeping at it and keeping the lines of communication open, are critical.
Do you feel that the word respect comes into conversation? A parent may feel that they're not being respected, and so they react rather than respond?
Very much so. Very much so. And I think that respect is a two-edged sword. The parents have to respect the children, and the children have to respect the parents. And it's how you parent in the best way you can that determines the ultimate outcome. And there's no book you can read that'll take you from A to Z and give you guaranteed outcomes. Life is tricky sometimes, it's complex sometimes, and it's a matter of breaking the complexity down into manageable chunks. That's really the key to it as well.
When we're talking children, well, we're talking people. And when we're talking people, we're talking different personalities and different likes and dislikes and what have you. So it's not the one size fits all. It's different to the individual that we're dealing with or that we're communicating with or trying to communicate with. Yep.
Absolutely. It's interesting that we're all very alike, even though we don't perhaps think we are,
okay.
But there are certain things all of us do and how we react and respond. It's quite a degree of similarity. However, it's the 20-25% that makes us unique that becomes the challenge sometimes.
Mm. So what would your message be to a parent to seek information? Where can they go to regarding being a better parent?
Well, I would recommend highly the publications called Parent Guide. Parent Guides are a series of booklets that are produced on, we've got Drugs 101, Social Media 101, Sex 101, Mental Health 101, and Respect 101. They're all current publications, and they can be accessed very easily through parentguides.com.au. I would highly recommend people get onto them and have them as a resource. Read them first. Have them as a resource. Mm. They're very, very well resourced. They're not researched, I should say. They're not fly-by-night booklets or anything of that sort. And as I mentioned earlier, they're not preachy. Mm. They're there to do a job, and that is to create an opportunity for parents and teachers to talk to particularly teenagers.
Exactly. Dave, I heard a phrase where life is like a smorgasbord. Take what you like. Flush the rest. So when you're talking about the parent guide, so to speak, take out of it what works with you or that you feel comfortable with. It's not like in your face and you have to dot the I's, cross the T's. Be open-minded to the learning.
Absolutely spot on. You've got it in one. Mm. They aren't preachy. They aren't trying to tell you how to do anything. You simply just go in there, look at it, and look at each of those publications and see what's relevant to you and where you think you might need a bit of support. They're very comprehensive. I highly recommend them.
Thank you very much for sharing a very important space. David Kutoff, all the best to you. Look, stay safe in COVID-19 and continue with your beautiful work. I think it's fantastic. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Trevor. It's my pleasure.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly Yarn. His name is David Kutoff, and sparking important conversations for families. And look, he's the grandfather of seven, volunteer, Beyond Blue speaker, now Parent Guides ambassador. So highly recommends Parent Guides. So Google it, you mob. Parent Guides, you want to become a better parent? I always say we don't have to be sick to get better. So every day in every way, we can get better and better. Have you say, you mob, yarn up strong. It's 11:50 here in sunny North Queensland. 10 minutes ago with the program National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
He sits and he dreams where his campfire gleams, an old man of tribal renown. So sad and alone in his true native home, a king without subjects or crown.
Yeah, daily voice of Roger Knox here, King Bunneral here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I believe we've got Michelle from WA on the line. Michelle, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Yes, Marianne, how you going?
Oh, Marianne. Sorry, my sister. How are you going?
Good. I'm just hanging out here. I've got my kid's dad's birthday today, so I just wanted to give him a big shout out there and say happy birthday to him.
Fantastic. My sister, and how are you travelling in COVID-19, Dale?
Oh, it's been solid. Like, we haven't had any problems. We got seven kids And so even though we separated a few years ago, like, he's always there helping.
Good.
And he's just boss, you know, and we just love him that much, and I just wanted to let him know he's appreciated. And
beautiful.
Over the last couple of months, you know, wouldn't have been able to get through all this COVID-19 without his help. So I just wanted to give him a shout out and say happy birthday, and yeah, just let him know we all love him and hope he has a good day.
That's beautiful. Happy birthday to the lad. What's his name?
His name is Rocky.
Rocky. Happy birthday, Rocky.
And he's a mad... And he's a mad Collingwood supporter, so the kid's got him a Collingwood shirt and hat there.
Beautiful. Look, and the message I'm picking up here as well, a beautiful message, that the two adults, the two parents, did not get along, went separate ways, but the relationship is stronger for the children.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, he's my best mate. But, good. You know, with our mob, you know, like, we have a lot of issues within society and stuff. And
sure.
It's just better for us to be best friends than be in that, you know, couple relationship. But I love him to death.
Yeah.
And he's always there when I need him, so I appreciate that, and that's why I wanted to give him a shout-out.
That's fantastic, and to me, it's I'm picking up a mature decision, a mature adult in the discussion in regard to the separation. And look, happy birthday to the lad. It works for both of you and the seven children, which is fantastic. What are you doing at the moment, sister? You working, or what are you doing, Mariette?
I'm studying. I'm doing my law degree, so apart from raising the kids, so because the bubba, he's 9 months old.
Oh, too dilly. Law degree. How far are you to go in that?
I'm about halfway through, so a lot of work, but I keep deferring because I keep having kids, see?
Well, girls can do anything, and it's about by a mile, it's a trial by a yard. Sister, it's too hard, but inch by inch, it's a cinch. Just keep at it, Sister Mariette.
Yeah, no, I will. And one day I'll get there, you know, so I can have that law degree so I can support our mob.
Yeah, too deadly. Love the work that you do, my sister. All the best to you and your deadly kids. And happy birthday, Rocky. And a fantastic message there, my sister. A beautiful yarn there, Mariette from WA. And wishing Rocky a happy birthday, lad. The father of her children. And they've got a beautiful relationship. The kids love him dearly. And she loves and respects him. She's a great friend of his, ex-partner. But the friendship is strong. And that shows that it can work, you mob. So beautiful message there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BB and Bubba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation. Thanks to Nurse. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong on National Talk Black. Too deadly, mob.
Lost inside this angel.
Amanda Marshall, Fall From Grace, talk to Deadly Brother, and that's Selwyn, my brother. Good morning. Hi, Selwyn?
Go on, brother.
You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm on, brother.
Yes, you are. Yes, go ahead, brother.
Okay, yeah brother. I want to borrow a line from Malcolm Chalver on Q&A. He was the main on the panel, and a lady asked him, we're all in the same boat with this coronavirus. He said, no. She said, no, you're in a yacht. We're not all in the same boat with this coronavirus. We're all in the same storm. Some of us are on jet skis. Some of us are on the Ruby Princess.
But same
and
storm.
Guineas, brother. I'm talking about Guineas, about the mob from Palm Island. And, brother, my mob from Palm, they were in the news last night and bugging me dead about that compensation payout. You know, when it's convenient for the white fellas, they say, oh, you do the crime, you do the time.
Mm.
And we have a high incarceration rate. The law is good from the British law, good for them when it comes to getting our people. But when we use the same law to fight them, to get this compo, they don't like it. That's what the show was on last night. Thank you very much, brother.
Too deadly. Thank you very much. Voicing his opinion, Selwyn, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Too deadly, Bob Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Before your local mob, stay tuned. Trendy Travel take you right through to 1 p.m. Queensland time with the special COVID-19 program. And want to hear what you're going to say on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Don't forget, you can text us as well, 045-714-0550. And also our webpage as well, that's BBM987FM. Don't forget the Australian Government National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. Number again, Australian Government National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. So if you've got any concerns, any questions, make that call and look, adhere to the laws and rules that are in place and do not be complacent. Restrictions are slowly lifting off, but there's no vaccine for the virus. So we still need to contain it. We don't want another double whammy-bammy with COVID-19. Otherwise, your mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay safe, more importantly, and we'll be yarning soon. Too deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
I'm an interstate driver, making ends meet, looking forward to turning into my old street. Where the garbage bands out on a Friday night, I can see that my baby has left on the light. It's a feeling like nothing I've known. It's a last mile home. I flew into Darwin from a mine out west, with nothing but my boots and a safety vest. Was a cyclone brewing in the Kimberley, and we had to get out, my friends and me. My heart was sinking like a stone on the last mile home. And it feels so good to come this far, and it don't matter where you are. Back to the people and the places I know, got a clear run now, I'm on the last mile home. Yeah. In the Gulf on a fishing boat, the hours are so long, but I'm keeping afloat. 6 weeks away, I'm going out of my mind. I keep looking for land as I check the lines. This old boat, she creaks and she moans on the last mile home. Places.